And our gospel lesson is on page 1276 from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 25 through 27. Then Jesus asked the two disciples, "Why can't you understand? How can you be so slow to believe all that the prophets said? Didn't you know that the Messiah would have to suffer before he was given his glory?" Jesus then explained everything written about himself in the scriptures, beginning with the law of Moses and the books of the prophets. May God bless this reading of the scripture.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I once again pray that these words will first be acceptable to you. It's the only way that these things work, that they come from you, and that you will take them and do whatever you can to fit them into our lives, drawing us closer to you and to each other. We pray in Christ's name, amen. And beginning with Moses, in all the prophets, he, Jesus, explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. You kind of get the idea that scripture was important to Jesus, don't you? It was important to the Apostle Paul as well. Listen again to his words to Timothy, his student, you might say, in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul talking to Timothy, "From infancy, you, Timothy, have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that all of God's people may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." The Bible. It's an important part of our faith, isn't it? So, how many of you brought your Bibles to church today? There's a few of you. Did you know that at one time almost everybody brought their churches brought their Bibles to church? Do you remember, any of you remember those days? I know my Grandma Fossum did. Now, she might have forgotten her purse at home. She might even have forgotten my grandpa at home. But she would never, ever forget bringing her Bible to church. John Wesley said this about the Bible. He said, "I am a man of one book," and he meant the Bible. Our seventh president, Andrew Jackson, he said, "That book, sir," meaning the Bible, "is the rock on which our republic stands." And our very first president, George Washington, he said, "It is impossible to righteously govern the world without God and the Bible." Are you sensing a pattern here? Ronald Reagan, our 40th president, he said, "Within the covers of one single book, the Bible, are all the answers to all the problems that face us today, if only we would read and believe." Last week, Ray talked about how the Bible is the number one selling book in the world. And it's been number one selling book in the world for what? Hundreds of years. And yet, for most people, we seldom read it, even though it's in plain sight in most of our homes. Maybe you heard about this young man who went to college. His parents gave him a Bible before he left, and he said to his parents, "Son, we want you to read this Bible. It's going to help you in school." And so a few weeks later, the son started writing letters home asking his parents for money. You've probably been there. The parents wrote back, "Son, you need to read the Bible," and then they suggested certain chapters for him to read. "I am reading the Bible," he said, "but I still need money." So when he came home for his semester break, he complained to his parents about not sending him any money. And the parents replied, "Son, you haven't been reading the Bible, have you?" "Well, how did you know?" the son asked. "Because," the parents said, "we slipped 5 $100 bills in the chapters we suggested you to read." Now, I don't think you're going to find any money in the Bibles in front of you. But I do believe that when you open up your Bibles, you're going to find something a lot more important. You're going to find the words of God instructing you, teaching you, training you, correcting you, and leading you. Today we continue our series that Ray and I are calling The Family Link. For both Ray and I, we really believe that this is more than just another series of messages. We believe that the family link is needed in many of our homes today. It's essential that this is in our homes today. Do you want a healthy and happy family? Do you want God to be a part of your family? Do you want to build your family on that solid rock, which is Jesus Christ? If you do, then you're invited to be a part of the family link. And by the way, for both Ray and I, the family includes traditional families. It includes blended families, single folks, and widows. Wherever you lay your head at night is your family. If you're single or if you're widowed, we encourage you to call a friend or a neighbor, a son or a daughter, and create your own family link with them. Or give us a call at the office and we'll try to help you find someone. This is how it works, the family link. We are asking you to invest 15 minutes a day to help your family grow stronger, healthier, and more spiritual. Just 15 minutes, that's all we're asking. Turn off the TV, shut down the computers, put away the cell phones for 15 minutes and invest that time in your family. It will be a good investment. The program, Family Link, as you know, it has five different steps, doesn't it? Step number one is to share with each other. This is the hard part for a lot of us who aren't used to sharing. How did your day go? What happened? Did anything good, anything bad? Who did you talk to? What was funny, what wasn't funny? Don't settle for, well, nothing happened or I'm okay. Share with each other. Step number two is to read the Bible. In your bulletins today, you're going to find scripture passages that you can read every day of this week. You'll also find those passages in our monthly newsletter and on our website. President Jimmy Carter and his wife Rosalynn, they read the Bible every day. Do you know that? Jimmy Carter said when he was in office, "When I was president, Rosalynn and I would read the Bible every night. I have to say that I really read it with much more deep attention and thoughtfulness when I was president because I felt such great responsibility on me." Number three, it's to discuss the Bible. Talk about what you read. When you read a passage in the Bible, we encourage you to ask each other, "What is this passage saying to me? What does this passage mean? How does this passage of Scripture relate to me and my family? What is it telling me to do?" Talk about the Scripture that you read. Number four, it's to pray. Pray for your family. Pray for this church or wherever you happen to belong. Pray for your community. Pray for your world. If you don't know how to pray, just look around this room and I'll tell you, we have many prayer warriors in this room and they'll be glad to help you. If you're not in the habit of praying, get into the habit. And number five, it's simply to bless each other. My wife and I, we end our family link each night by simply saying to each other, "Bless you," and "Bless you." You can be more elaborate if you want to, but the main point is to bless each other. So let's get back to step three, discussing Scripture. How do we talk about the words that we read? Maybe you heard this story about a pastor who had car trouble one night, and his car broke down. It happens to pastors' cars from time to time. Anyway, he phoned the nearest telephone, which happened to be in a bar. He picked up the phone, he called for some help, he hung up the phone, and then he looked around and he saw his old friend Frank. Frank wasn't doing very well. Frank had a little bit too much to drink, if you know what I mean. Frank, Frank, he said, what's going on? You never used to drink before. Pastor, Frank said, I've lost everything. I made some really, really bad investments. I don't have a cent to my name. And my wife is threatening to leave me. I don't know what to do. Go home, the pastor said. Go home and find your Bible and open it up to a random page. Open it up to a random page. Take your finger and stick it in the middle of your Bible. And underneath your finger, there will be God's answer for you. A few months later, the pastor bumped into Frank again. And Frank, this time, he was wearing an expensive suit. He was driving an expensive car. He had an expensive wristwatch on. And his wife was with him. The pastor said, Frank, I'm glad to see things turned around for you. Yes, Frank said, and I owe it all to you. I went home that night, he said, just like you told me to. I found my Bible. I opened it up to a random page. I took my finger and I stuck it right in the middle of that page. And sure enough, there was God's answer for me. It said, chapter 11. That's not how you read the Bible. Okay? First of all, you need to know that the Bible is written for everybody. You don't have to be a scholar, a minister, or a priest to read the Bible. I want to repeat that. You don't have to be a scholar, priest, or a minister to read the Bible. The Bible is written for everybody. So how many of you here take a daily vitamin pill? I do. I take vitamins because I think it's good for my long-term benefit. In other words, in the long haul, I believe that vitamins will help me. I believe that we read Scripture for the very same reason. The more we read Scripture, the more we study Scripture, the closer we'll grow to God, and the closer we'll grow into the persons that God is creating me to be. Does that make sense? Now, if you read a passage of Scripture and you don't understand, that's okay. You can ask somebody to explain it to you, or you can go on to the next passage. All right? This book here, it's an amazing book. Do you realize that two people can read the very same passage and they can walk away with two different meanings or lessons? A couple of weeks ago, during our McCabe family link on Wednesday night, I was sitting at a table and we were reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And that passage spoke to the people differently who were around that table. One person mentioned verse 16, that said something to him. And verse 16 is, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Another person said, yeah, but I really like verse 19. And that says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. And still a third person said, you know which verse spoke to me? That was verse 24. The one who calls you is faithful, it says, and he will do it. Do you see how that works? It was the very same passage, but you had three different people hearing and reading something different. It's powerful. The Bible is amazing. But first, you have to get into the habit of reading the Bible and studying the Bible and talking about it. Somebody once said that a Bible in your hand is worth two in the bookcase. A Bible in your hand is worth, okay? I think that's true. The Bible is like having a living library with you all the time. There's something for everybody. In the Bible, you'll find a poetry, you'll find history, you find romance in the all kinds of romance, and action, all kinds of action in the Bible. Would you do me a favor right now, choir? I wish I'd have told you about this beforehand. Do me a favor and grab a pew Bible in front of you. That's that black little book. his holy Bible on the front of it. And I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And when you find it, I want you to yell out the page, would you please? Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. 1427? 1407. 1407. Galatians 6, verse 9. 1407. 1420? We're just testing you before. 1420? Okay. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. This is how it goes. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right. What does your Bible say? I like your... Do not what? Do not get tired of helping others. So let us not grow weary in doing good or in helping others, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. This is a basic biblical principle, isn't it? This is something that we can build into our lives and kind of direct how we live. Do not tire. Do not get weary of doing good. Turn to chapter 3, verse 28, same book. Chapter 3, verse 28, same book. And I'm sorry, choir, I wish I had you in on this. You have it? Galatians again, chapter 3. I'm going to be reading verse 28. And there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. This is another biblical principle. In the eyes of Christ, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter where you come from. In the eyes of Christ, we are all equal. You talk about something to build our lives around, this is it. Take a look at James chapter 3. Keep on going towards the end of the book. James chapter 3. And I'm going to start at 8, 9, and 10. What page is it on? James chapter 3. What is it? 1481. I love this verse, these verses. Are you there? James 3, beginning with verse 8. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. Isn't that the truth? With it, we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. It's another biblical principle, isn't it? My grandmother, God bless her, she used to take this verse and she'd paraphrase it and she'd say something like, if you don't have something good to say about someone else, you keep your mouth shut. Maybe she used a little different words than that. One more, and you don't have to look this one up, but the Bible is also a roadmap for our salvation. You know that, and I know that. In John chapter 14, Jesus is telling us about a place called heaven. And not only that, but then he goes out of his way and he tells us how we can get there. Do you remember that? He said, and these are the directions, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You believe in me and you'll find your way to heaven. Folks, I could go on and on, verse after verse, passage after passage. The Bible is full of wise sayings, biblical principles. It tells us who God is and who God wants us to be. But first, you need to invest 15 minutes every day in your family. Share with each other. Read your Bibles. Discuss what you're reading. Pray for each other. And then bless each other. Investing 15 minutes a day in your family is a good investment. It's good for you, and it's good for your family. It's good for this church, or whatever church you belong to, and it's good for your community. So, what are you waiting for? Amen.